It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
I heard a little bit of Deion Sanders' post-game press conference last night.
Who'd he call out last night?
Well, he didn't call anybody out, but you know how the game ended, right?
Yeah, I watched the ending.
They were up by five, and North Dakota State threw. I mean, the kid threw as far as he could possibly throw, which showed you why he was an FCS quarterback, because he only threw it about 40 yards. But it was a Hail Mary that was caught on about the 4-yard line. But Colorado tackled the kid, so he didn't score. But
Paul, I didn't want to watch a lot of this game. Now, see what you think of this opinion, because I'm going to Penn State, West Virginia tomorrow. I want that game to be like the first college football game that I watch. It's like, oh, it's back, instead of watching last night's game. Does that make any sense in your mind?
I like that a lot, actually.
So I only watched like the last 2 minutes of the Colorado game.
But anyway, Deion Sanders said that he was very angry. He was upset.
Some expletives that he cannot say on TV.
He says, I'm not going to talk about it. I'm not going to talk about what, but I guess we got the dub, so I'm happy, but I'm not happy. And of course, then he had to drop in. There were 31 NFL scouts here, and they all got to see what they wanted to see, meaning his son and the Hunter kid or whatever his name is.
Travis Hunter. Yeah. He's incredible.
His son and the Hunter kid. That kid's not going to make it through the season again this year. He played, I think they had a total of, I was looking it up before, I think they had a total of like 130 snaps in that game, and he played 128 of them.
He's the preseason Big 12 Defensive Player of the Year.
Right.
And he had over 100 yards receiving last night.
But that's what I mean.
What, do you have two touchdowns?
Yeah, I mean, listen. The kid is unbelievable, okay? And he's going to be a top pick or whatever, you know, in the draft. I get all that. But I'm sorry, you know, when you look at how many snaps he plays, I mean, how realistic is it for him to continue to play 120, 125 snaps? Especially, I think, like next week they play Nebraska, right? So I'm assuming it'll be in the afternoon, it'll be hot. I mean, how realistic is that going to be?
Yeah, it's like he's a very good two-way player in high school, except he's getting hit a lot harder, and it's a lot more physical of a game and a tougher game.
I'm just saying, it's crazy. I mean, so Colorado had, if you do the math, Colorado had, what is it, 57, 58 plays? Something like that, 58 plays. And North Dakota State had very similar, 57, 58 plays. And we're talking about 120 plays in a game. Anyway, do we have Mike?
We got him.
All right, let's get the Mike. Mike Casazza, by the way. By the way, Ray Fittipaldi was brought to you by LGKG Injury Lawyers, 7 locations in the Pittsburgh region. And they take your personal injury case personally, LGKG.com. The fan hotline, which is where we have Mike Casazza, presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh trusted plumbing HVAC provider. For over 50 years, Mike, you've covered college football for a long, long time. Do you ever wish you got a chance to cover the Deion Sanders show up close and personal?
Well, I work for CBS, so I'm not sure I'm allowed to. So I don't know. We'd have to hash that one out. But I like the story, Paul, and I want an A or an F, and I feel like there's no C+ in Boulder, right?
Right.
You're gonna get full Deion one way or the other. And that would be a heck of a ride. And actually, our 24/7 site is never been as alive as it is right now in Boulder, and it's been like that for a year or two. But you know what the funny thing is about Hunter? Everything you just said is right about him. They don't beat an FCS team last night without him playing as much and as well as he did. Like, that's like, they're talented for sure, but like, that guy's that good. And if he plays minimal snaps on offense, or just like a little bit, like a, you know, like kind of like a novelty, they'll win that game. He had 3 touchdown catches last night. They kind of need him to do that. So it's a necessary evil. Because imagine if they lose an FCS game last night, even though North Dakota State's pretty darn good, the heat would be really up on him, and I'm not sure how he'd handle that.
No, I mean, I'm just saying, I think it's really, here's the thing that I think people didn't realize last year, and it looks to me like it's the same issue this year. I could be wrong, but Deion's kid, the quarterback, Hunter, and Joe Horn's kid are basically going to drag that team to more wins than they probably should have. I mean, I think the rest of the team is kind of average.
It's kind of hard to blend in, like, I don't know, what is it, 60-plus players? I don't know how you do that. I don't know how you find 60 good ones. It's hard for teams to do that over a course of a 4 or 5 year recruiting cycle. Right. To do that in a 4 or 5 month offseason, good luck. I don't know how you pull that off. But, again, that's why you watch. You're going to get the full Deion, I'm sure.
Yeah, well, Mike's been covering West Virginia for, 20 years now probably, right?
Yeah, too long, man, too long.
I mean, when I was on the Pitt beat back then, you were on the WVU beat, so it had to be about 2004 or 5 you started, right?
My first time full-time was 2007, and I was doing basketball before that. So when they were probably 2004, so like, you know, full-time or like part-time, 21, this will be my 22nd season, I think. Thanks, Paul. It makes you feel really good.
Well, you know, you've seen a lot of big games come and go down there, but tomorrow obviously feels like one of the bigger games that they've had in a long time, doesn't it? And you know, I'm seeing already, we've seen clips of the Pat McAfee show setting up, and there's, you know, thousands of people out there already being, you know, getting ready for it. And we've seen clips of I-79 and, you know, with traffic backed up. I mean, it feels like this is a pretty big a game tomorrow, doesn't it?
Paul, this is like light up night in Pittsburgh. Traffic's amazing. There's a lot of energy here. The opener is always kind of different from a regular season game. And truth be told, like in the Big 12 era, West Virginia has played like 3 games that really, truly matter. And you're talking like November football games, where maybe there's a playoff spot, or maybe there's a Big 12 championship game spot. And like, there was an Oklahoma game back in 2018. That's the last one that was like really kind of like intriguing and important at the same time. And if you go back to like, you know, just historically, if they haven't played a team this good to start a season at home since 1998, you know, they played Alabama and in Atlanta in 2014. They were number 2 or 3 in the country, but to get a team in the top 10, the rival, kind of regional, you know, I'm not even sure rival, but like, you know, some of the older people will certainly remember Penn State. This is pretty darn big down here. And then like what's different here, at least in like recent vintages, that the team doesn't stink. And like, there actually is like an optimistic outlook at the start of the season, which really hasn't been the case in the Neil Brown era. You know, it took him a couple years to get that Boulder to the top of the hill. And I'm not sure it's there and it goes downhill now, but you know, he's maybe rolling it over 1 or 2 more times and he's on his way. And that would certainly speed up if he gets this one tomorrow. And the funny thing is like you get him at the start of the season, you have a whole summer to prepare for him. You have some advantages, you think, on your personnel, which is kind of a new thing for them. You know, it's certainly – there would be stranger things than West Virginia beating Penn State and Morgantown tomorrow.
Well, that's the thing. You know, I've heard a lot of people that are talking about how they think West Virginia has a real chance. If you look at the betting line, it's come way down. I think that probably suggests that a lot of people that are betting think that way as well. If you were to put your finger on one or – 2 reasons why people are so optimistic about the Mountaineers, what is it?
Home team, that helps, I think, especially – that's a betting thing, too. I think people really kind of simplify it where, okay, home is worth how many points? 2.5, 3.5 points. Start of the season, you don't know who's who. You kind of give that a nod. So from that Vegas perspective, that might explain that. But if you're going, like, win and loss, and can they actually pull this off, like – I don't know how to break this to people, but like West Virginia has a good offense. Like they have a quarterback now who can do things with his arms and his legs. They have a guy who can make a hand it to who can run around you, and a guy they can hand to who can run through you. They don't have superstar receivers, but they have, you know, kind of a flock of what they think will be pretty productive ones. They should be able to move the ball and score points if they don't get stuck in third and seven, third and eight against that Penn State pass rush, which is always pretty good and should be again this year. And maybe the difference this season is that their defense will not be as leaky, they hope, as it has been, especially in the secondary. They've been okay up front the past couple of years. Last season, more sacks per game and TFLs per game than anybody else in the Big 12, which is important. It's an offensive league. They were just kind of really bad in the back end of the secondary, not consistent, had to play a lot of people, a few people for a lot of snaps. They have some depth this year. They probably get some better transfers. They're going to have to stick the transfer portal again, which they did last year, but they aimed higher and got some better players, and they feel pretty good about being able to cover people and to stick to people in the secondary. If you watch the first game last year against Penn State, they were slow in the secondary. They scored like a 75-yard touchdown on the fourth play from scrimmage, and it wasn't anything exotic. It was just catch and run, and It was too easy for a team like Penn State to do that to West Virginia. They're faster in the secondary this year, and you don't want to put that to the test because you don't want to chase receivers. That's generally not a good thing, but you got to run with them, and if they do get away from you, you got to go get them, and I think they feel better about just being able to keep the lid on things on defense this year, which that would be welcome, especially if they do have a good offense.
If you notice the way that it is, I mean – Neil Brown went from early last season to, you know, a guy they wanted to run out of town. If they're indeed as good as you think, I mean, is he going to be a guy that they're going to look back on and say, man, we're glad we didn't pull the trigger and get rid of this guy?
Yeah, he survived one. Like, I thought that he was maybe done after the 2022 season. They fired their athletic director, who gave Brown a weird extension, and it kind of put everything on ice for a while in the athletic department because they're coming out of the pandemic. He gets an extension before that. Finances are all screwed up. You fire the AD and you're not winning in the football program here. Same story in many major athletic departments. You're in trouble. And then like 2 days after, they go out and they just tank it against Kansas State and get blown off the field. And I'm thinking, well, that's probably it, right? You kind of hear taps in the background. And, you know, the hard part is to fire a coach you really like, but he made it easy because they weren't winning. They weren't playing well. And they kind of redesigned things in the offense. And the funny thing is that he bet on himself. You know, he didn't go outside and hire people. He made himself the play caller again. He promoted his running backs coach to offensive coordinator. Some popular moves in the locker room, and they got good last season. Paul, their schedule last year was not great in the Big 12 about who they didn't play. If you look at the standings, not great. And then if you look at the standings this year in the preseason, they play pretty much everybody above them in the preseason standings. That's a big difference from last year. I think a lot of people want to like their progress, but those same people either know that they did not have a great schedule last year and they do this year, or they look close and they say, wait a second, I didn't play anybody last year. They play everybody this year. The results have to come through this year more so than last year because of the quality of the competition.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's going to be the question that was the follow-up. I mean, what if he follows up and they go 5-7 this year?
You could probably hear the taps in the background again. Like this athletic director doesn't mess around. It's a new guy, Ren Baker. He's pragmatic. He's been, I think, maybe redeemed or rewarded in some regard because they did have a good football season last year. Paul, they sold out preseason tickets or sold out season tickets this year. That's a big deal, especially when you need finances, but that also means fan support. It's got to be good, though. If it's not good, you're kind of pressing reset, and West Virginia, no school wants to press reset, but here's the big thing, the big reason that Brown is still here. His processes, his rebuild or whatever, he didn't have to tear it down and start everybody. He did choose to like step back 2, 3, 4 steps and put his plan in place with his vision. And 2022, all right, maybe don't let him go, but boy, that Big 12 come 2024 is a little bit easier to win when you don't have a loss every year to Texas and Oklahoma. And you're not going to have two teams that are no matter what better than you on paper because of their talent. And you're going to move in a couple of teams in the American Conference. You're going to move in a couple of teams in the Pac-12 that haven't been great. You have 8 new teams in the league this year, Paul, and I'm not sure how many of them scare you. We look at like Houston, UCF from last year, or like Arizona State and Colorado from this year. They didn't bring in Texas and Oklahoma and Oregon and Washington. They brought in teams that were available but are easier to beat. And if Neil Brown can't do it this year, there's going to be a lot of people who will line up and say, I can do this. And that makes this job attractive because this is a conference where you can really put your stamp on your program by being successful, I think, because this should be like an open and fun, competitive, but winnable conference now in a way it hasn't been in a long time.
Well, that's for sure. You know, obviously you have to cover this game. There's a lot of hype going into it and everything else. Give me, you know, say two or three key matchups that you think will be the difference between whether the Mountaineers win or whether they lose.
All right, how about an individual one? Penn State moved Abdul Carter, like they're all world linebacker, to defensive end. West Virginia's best player, probably on the team, maybe even on offense, is their left tackle, Wyatt Milam. Milam hasn't allowed a sack in 2 years, 25 straight games, so that'll be huge when it comes to pressure. I would certainly watch for what West Virginia's defense tries to do to Drew Aller, because they feel like they can pressure a little bit more their linebackers in their spur position this year. Can they make that happen? So a little bit of offense pressure against defensive pressure against offensive protection, both sides. And then, Paul, like, just the running games here, I don't know how you get around it. West Virginia's going to do it differently because they have the quarterback and they have two, maybe three running backs. They're going to use receivers in the running game. Just watch for option and triple option. I saw them do this and I got slapped in the wrist and writing about it in the preseason, but they worked on triple option a bunch because they think they have some options to use in the backfield. But Kansas has that darn Andy Kotelnicki offense that spooked West Virginia when he was at Kansas. He's very good at what he does. Somebody's going to hold on to this ball for like 35 minutes in this game and make it very hard for the other team to win. I think you might have to score 30 to win this game, but I think that you're probably going to have the ball for more than 30 minutes, and that is what both these teams like to do. They're both like top 10 time of position teams. That is not the stat that you think about in college football in 2024. It's kind of the way both these teams want to play. Whoever has the ball runs more snaps. It's probably going to win this game, and that'll be, I think this will tip the scale here a little bit. A lot of stuff about who's going to pressure the passer more. Both teams think they can do it. Handoffs might be a great idea.
Well, Mike, I appreciate you jumping on. I know you're very busy. I know you got to get to the Pat McAfee show, right? And chronicle the crowd and everything else going on, right?
Don't we have a Pittsburgh correspondent for that now?
That's true.
He should be on that one, right?
Let's send Kaboom down there, right?
Make it happen.
All right, brother. Good talking to you. And have a great holiday weekend.
Thanks, Paul. Take care.
All right. As Mike says, after listening to that, Austin, do you have any more faith that West Virginia can pull this off or no?
I think there's a chance that West Virginia can pull it off because they are a team on the rise. I don't think they will because I think the battle in the trenches without Zach Frazier is more favorable to Penn State. And defensively, I think it's more favorable to Penn State. Plus, it's a noon game. If this was a 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock game, man, you're playing country roads in the heart of the night. I like the chances that West Virginia has, and I think that plays a factor. I really do. A lot of people might discount it. I think it matters. But, yeah, I mean, I never have discounted West Virginia at all from that they don't have a chance to win this. They really could. It would not surprise me if they do.
Well, we'll see.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We have not found out anything yet.
Okay, so.
In terms of the guest front.
Okay, well, I guess it'll be noon then. Right?
Ideally, yes.
It'll be at noon.
Waiting on confirmation for noon.
Noon, 12:10, something like that, 12:15. We'll get them. Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh trusted plumbing and HVAC provider of over 50 years. And, of course, it is 11:37, time to stop blindly paying those increasing auto and home insurance premiums. Contact the Buell Insurance Agency in Gibsonia and see what they can do for you. And, of course, our football coverage on The Fan is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile. You can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon using their savings calculator. Find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. We have basically, you know, we've talked a little bit about the Brandon Ayuk situation already. We've talked a little bit about Penn State and West Virginia. Obviously, a big game tomorrow. It's pretty clear that Morgantown is going to be a nuts place tonight. Like, if you're bored, looking for something to do, looking to be entertained, I'm pretty sure you could just drive down to Morgantown and find some shenanigans to get into tonight.
Yeah, good luck finding a parking spot or anywhere around there to freely roam around. But, yeah, I imagine that the next 48 hours are going to be absolutely insane down there.
I mean, well, maybe not 48, maybe 26.
Probably 48. It's Morgantown. Who are we kidding?
Yeah, but if they lose, a lot of the wind goes out of the sails.
Fair.
Yeah, I mean, quickly. I remember the night after the 13-9, you know, the 13-9 debacle when they lost to Pitt. I remember walking out of the stadium and driving. You know, I covered the game, so there was probably like, you know, an hour and a half after the game was over. I had to write my story and whatever, and I remember driving through thinking, boy, it's very, very quiet tonight. Very quiet. And mostly because they lost. Now, I remember also a night when I covered them playing Virginia Tech. West Virginia played Virginia Tech on a Thursday night. And West Virginia won. And all hell broke loose.
Were couches being burned?
From where I was sitting in the press box typing, you could actually look down over the hill and see many things being burned. And all the apartments and all the, you know what I'm saying?
I think I saw a few after covering the Pitt West Virginia game last year down in Morgantown.
Yeah, I mean, it was absolutely just crazy. It was a total madhouse. In fact, people were so excited. I mean, they were just throwing stuff onto the field. They, you know, rushed the field. They were throwing, you know what I mean? They were picking up bags of ice that were on the, you know, that were on the benches. They were just picking them up and throwing the ice everywhere. It was crazy.
Bags of ice?
Yeah. There was ice, you know, that they had, I guess, on the sidelines for the players. There were the fans that rushed the field throwing the ice, throwing everything that wasn't, you know, that wasn't tied down. I also covered a game. I covered a Pitt, it would have been Pitt-Ohio U game, where Ohio U beat Pitt. Tyler Palko threw an interception in overtime, and Ohio U beat him. And I'm there, the stadium, we had to come down out of the press box and walk across the field to get to where we do interviews. As I'm walking across the field, I had to like dodge the excited mob because they had torn down the goalposts and were carrying it out of the stadium.
That's a good point. I mean, I kind of forgot about that from last year. West Virginia, to go and talk to WVU players, you have to go across the field through a couple hallways, through a couple more back channels to get to the press conference.
Yeah. And you have to walk down through the stands.
Yeah.
And, you know, you walk down all the way down through the stands, and then you, yes, absolutely. I love going down there, though. I love covering games down there. It is a lot of fun.
I'm looking at some of the pictures that McAfee's posting right now of probably 1,000 people, probably more than that, maybe 1,500 that are all just standing out by the set waiting to watch the show. They're throwing footballs around. Traffic continues to be backed up on 79. Pretty interesting.
Well, it looks like they're having a good time for sure. I mean, it's so hot, though. Why would you want to be standing there in that crowd?
Why wouldn't you want to be standing there? If you're from West Virginia, why would you, or going to WVU, why would you not want to go to this event?
I would want to be somewhere underneath shade with a cold beer in
my hand. There's trees. I'm sure they have cold beer.
With a cold beer in my hand. I don't see many beers in this crowd. I see people just standing along the fence.
Well, not yet. They're just getting going. It's a long 48, 28, 4 hours of drinking coming up for West Virginia.
My question is, at like 3 a.m, are there still going to be people out here on this lawn? Like, just basically saying to hell with it, we're starting our tailgating now.
I'm sure a couple people will be. They want to be the ones that get on camera. Some news reporting outlet will say, look at these guys standing out here at 3 a.m, ready to go with their WVU shirts on, their tailgating. They already got their grills and tents out here.
Yeah. It's incredible to me. So I feel like it's now now going to be interesting to see who's the last man standing at 3 a.m. Because you're right, I'm sure they've already started their drinking. And so the party has begun. We got Pat Bostick to talk about a party. There's going to be a big party in the North Shore tomorrow, right? Because of the
Kent State Pitt game.
Pitt gets started, and look, Pitt is one of the most intriguing teams that we've got. Pitt is very similar to the Steelers, and that is we all just want to see what it looks like, right? We all just want to see what it looks like, and so. You know, this offense at Pitt where they're going to snap it every 7 seconds and all this other stuff?
Yeah.
What's the over-under on the number of minutes, or maybe quarters, the number of quarters it takes before Pat Narduzzi loses his mind because this offensive coordinator wants to throw it 50 times in a row? There's going to be a point.
Halfway through the West Virginia game.
There's going to be a point where he's going to be, I'm not comfortable with this anymore. Right? It's just not how he's built.
And you got a redshirt freshman quarterback who it seems like, well, he's going to get the start, but it seems like he's going to be your guy now.
Yep.
Unless he does not perform well against Kent State, and I would imagine that he would. If you don't look good against Kent State, I don't know what to tell you.
Right. It is, it's really going to be interesting. And then, of course, I think that we've got another week to worry about the Steelers before they get started. But, boy, it's great that football's back, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm pumped.
I mean, football season is different.
You long for it to be back. And then when it finally is, I don't know. It's just a different feeling.
I think it's so important, though. I mean, football is such a big part of the fabric here, isn't it? In this area, in Western PA. People love football. Whether it's high school football, college football, pro football, whatever. People just love it. I mean, you know, if you go, it's not what it used to be, you know, 15, 20, 25 years ago. I get it. But there's still a lot of towns that you can go to on a Friday night if there's a high school football game where the whole town is there. You know what I mean? Where the whole town is there to watch.
You still see it.
You still see it, especially some of these smaller communities. You know, it's like, okay, Friday night, what do? Well, the high school football team is playing. We go, even if we don't have a person on the team, we go to the game.
That's where I think it's more prevalent. Like, look at Fort Cherry. They have Matt Sieg, the great quarterback, who's getting all these offers. He's getting looks from, like, Penn State, Pitt, and whatever. That is a very small town. They've come together.
Right.
Whippy old champs. Really good in states. That type of smaller community, smaller aspect, right. Kind of like what I saw going to Waynesburg.
Yeah.
What they got at Waynesburg Central, Mapletown, all those type of places. That, I think, is where it's a lot more exactly the same that it was 20, 30, 40 years
ago. Have you ever been to Mapletown High School?
No, I've not.
Have you ever been to Carmichael's High School?
No, I don't think I have.
Have you ever been to Fraser High School?
No.
Have you ever been to Jefferson Morgan High School?
No, I've not.
So how do we
know
they're real places?
They are real places.
I've never met anybody that's ever been to any one of those places.
Ask Richard Krause at Waynesburg because he coaches against all of them at Carmichael.
Oh, no, I said, I don't know that I've ever met anybody that's ever been to any one of those high schools. Carmichael's, Fraser. I think I've met a few people that have actually been to Avella High School.
They're all single A, double A.
Yeah, they're all small places.
Pretty small.
Right?
Don't venture towards the city as much.
Avella High School, I think maybe I've met somebody that's actually been to Avella High School. But some of these places, I'm like, do they really exist? Like, I've never met anyone that's been to Mapletown High School. I've never met anyone that's ever been to, what do we say, Frazier, Carmichael's, Beth Center.
Beth Center is one I was thinking of, too.
I mean, no disrespect to those places. I'm just saying, McGuffey's another one. I don't know that I've ever met anyone that's actually been to McGuffey.
My friend used to teach at McGuffey.
Well, then
it's real.
Then it's real. It exists. That's what we're, you know, trying to establish. Are they real places?
They're not going to make up. These are not fake places that they just make up, Paul.
I'm just saying.
Drop a pin on a map and let's call it Mapletown. Let's call it Avella.
Right.
There's a Jefferson Morgan grad that's texting in. It is real.
It is a real place. But yeah, we have.
Why are we disputing if these are real places? They're not. They're all real places.
I'm not.
It's not fake.
I'm not disputing it. I'm just saying I've never met anybody that's been to these places. So how do I know they're real?
I wonder what the graduating classes are like for those type of 1A schools.
Well,
what is Brentwood's graduating class? It's like right next to me, and I don't know how much it is. I think it's like 70 a year, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just saying, you know, you look at some of these places, and this is, you know, one of the things I've often said, if you're only graduating 60 or 70 people, why are you a high school? You know, I know that's not always popular, but why are you a high school? It doesn't make a lot of sense to me. I've often said that we could consolidate a lot of schools. Now, I know everybody wants to have their little school in their little town. I get it. But when we talk about resource management, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. It just doesn't. Nevertheless, we were talking earlier about the Brandon Ayuk situation. The fact that it finally came... It finally came, you know, to a resolution, and he's not a Steeler. And so it is amazing to me now when I look at the Steelers and I say, wait a second. What are they going to do at receiver? What is their plan at receiver? How are they going to get through here? We had one caller that disputed and said, basically, we've got, you know, Brandon Ayuk. I mean, I'm sorry, we've got Van Jefferson, and he's going to be much better than we think. Okay. I hope so, for the Steelers' sake. But again, I would have someone would have to show me a guy in his, what, sixth year, seventh year, whatever he's in, who suddenly becomes what he hasn't been for 5 or 6 years. That's what I would like to see. Maybe there's an example of that you can find. I would be, you'd be hard pressed to find it. But it seems to me like they haven't gone out and done a really good job of making sure that they take care of a really important position. That's just to me what it comes down to. You can't expect your offense to flourish if you've only got one guy that teams are scared of. And right now, I look at it like that. And I'll tell you another thing that's really, 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 Austin, really kind of ridiculous. They're spending almost nothing on their quarterback position.
Not like $6 million total,
able,
like that.
They should be able to spend a lot of money on other stuff. You know what I mean?
Well, they have like, what, $13 million currently to still work with?
Yeah.
So, Paul, I pulled up a list of wide receivers that are available. Free agent wide receivers.
Okay.
Could I interest you in Hunter Renfro roaming across the middle of the field?
I mean, is he really much better than any of the guys they have?
I actually am pretty high on Hunter Renfro. I think he'd be their second best receiver right now. And probably third behind Roman Wilson, who I'm also probably too high on.
Okay.
Michael Thomas, who has not regained his form from 4 years ago. Any interest there?
I mean, probably. He's probably done.
Corey Davis reuniting with Arthur Smith.
Corey Davis.
Remember, then he signed a big deal with the Jets. And like most players who go to the Jets, did nothing.
Maybe. Probably not. I don't know that he does a whole lot more. You know what I mean?
What about the ghost of Christmas past, Julio Jones? Would you bring him back and try to regain his form from yesteryear?
He's done. No.
What about Alec Erickson, the old Bengals wide receiver? Or Randall Cobb, Aaron Rodgers' old buddy?
No.
Richie James, Marquez Callaway? Do you want a reunion with Chase Claypool or James Washington?
No, that doesn't do anything for me either.
Russell Gage, old wide receiver in Atlanta?
No.
Willie Snead. Remember him?
Oh, my god.
Philip Dorsett, the speedster from Indianapolis?
You're hurting my ears now.
It's just getting worse and worse.
It's just ridiculous.
Jalen Reagor, the TCU bust wide receiver Philadelphia picked?
I mean,
Ben Skowronek.
What about the guy that the Chiefs cut?
Kadarius Toney. Do you want him?
I'm just saying. I mean, no. There isn't a whole lot out there, right?
There's nothing out there other than Michael Thomas and Hunter Renfrow. Maybe Corey Davis.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.